Get fired up with Radio Gorgeous.
Did you know that after Christmas, Britons return 207 million pounds worth of unwanted gifts? Did you know that in the 16th century, unwanted fat was called fog? Did you know that in Ethiopia, the millennium fell on September 12th, 2007? Did you know that thunderplump is an old Scottish word for a sudden heavy rain shower? You also might not have known that the man who first described Botox was a German known as Sausage Kerner. But the person who did know most of this and more is Ann Miller, and the book is 1,342 QI Facts. If you thought they sounded familiar, there's a reason. Welcome, Ann Miller.
Hello.
So, you have many strings to your young bow, I am surmising. One of them is being a researcher on QI. I can't imagine there's anyone who doesn't know QI, but for anyone who doesn't, it's a quiz show for obscure facts that traditionally Stephen Fry and Alan Davies get to show off that they're the biggest smarty pants. However, I would surmise that you guys behind the scenes are the biggest smarty pants.
I think QI is more about curiosity, and it's that anyone can be the biggest smarty pants. It's whether you sort of soak up that information and what you find when you read. So technically it's a, I think we call it a comedy panel show, comedy panel quiz show. So it's, the comedy is a way to get to the facts. So hopefully you get to laugh and you get to learn a little. That's what we hope to do with the books as well.
Excellent. I was going to say, because some of the facts are, you know, just sort of intriguing starting points.
Yes.
I would say. And obviously there's other writers and, you know, who have other expertise aside from you. But one of the things I did know, you and I had a conversation previously. We met at Sarah Pascoe's book launch. And you told me that you guys fact check 4 or 5 sources, I think?
Depends on the fact. So one thing that is tricky is, how do you know a fact is true? Mm-hmm. And if it's something like the height of the Eiffel Tower, well, you can sort of know. I mean, it does think it changes from summer to winter because the metal expands, but you can get a rough idea. But if it's a fact like, there's one in the new book that I love, which is on the Mir space station, the emergency alarm made the same noise as the wake-up call. So they'd wake up in the morning and didn't know if that was morning or they were in danger. And that came from an interview with Helen Sharman, who was the first Briton in space. So because she was actually on the spaceship, we would trust that source. We trust the interview. You might check it in another place in case someone misreported it, but generally that sounds pretty solid. If the fact was the same, but we read it on Twitter, not from Helen Sharman, then we would have to back it up. So you sort of get this sense of where it comes from. And where they get tricky is when it's facts about things where, lots of different names of funny roads or names of ships. You have to check each one. Often they're not in the same place. And often it's putting the same things into one fact that makes it interesting. So there's one in the book about Quidditch and digestive biscuits and overdrafts were all invented in Edinburgh.
Aha.
So that's 3 different places, but putting it together makes you think Edinburgh is this kind of cool place for creating things.
John Lloyd started QI.
He did. He has the best CV of anyone I've ever met.
Yes.
His CV is phenomenal.
How did you get involved in this?
I was working in television, and I was very lucky to get a day at the QI studios, where they basically, kind of like the Crystal Maze, showed me around all the rooms, so the lights and the sound and the elves and the makeup and everything. And I made it the best day ever. And then they said, you know, nice to meet you. If you ever find any good facts, let us know. And so I thought, well, there's a challenge. And so I started emailing them facts. And one of which was, I was home in Dundee and I went to the Science Centre, and there was a fact on the wall that an eagle can swallow enough botulism toxin that would kill 400,000 guinea pigs.
Wow.
And I thought, that's pretty good. So I emailed it to QI and they put it on the Twitter feed. It did quite well. And they said, okay, if you have any more, let us know. And I thought, well, sure. So I started firing off facts, and I got very lucky because they were just about to do an internship scheme that summer. And they said, well, would you like to come and join? And I was like, obviously. yes.
Since I'm doing it, you know, from home.
Yeah. Actually, I was working on a different show at that time. That was what I'd do around it. And so I was like, yes, please. And I joined as an intern. I started off managing the Twitter feed and helping out with sort of curating all the data we have with database, big databases. And then that was 5 years ago. And now I write the books, I write scripts. I'm a head researcher on the radio show. It's pretty great.
Excellent. And tell me, give me a fact or two about QI that only an elf behind the scenes would know.
Oh, I know the scoring system, but I'm sworn to secrecy on that.
Okay, so we'll have to torture you to get, one. Yeah. get that one out. Which yeah.
Or just
do.
Buy me a lot of biscuits. easily bought. No. I think it's not really a secret, but the best perk of the job is that for every episode of QI, we have to do a technical rehearsal because there's so many pictures behind, just to make sure the pictures, the buzzers, and all the cues all line up. So that's usually done with Sandy, and then we have a couple of stand-ins come in, and then two elves, because we know the material. So for every episode, two elves will have already played the episode before it goes out, which means we get to sit in the seats, press the button, set off the klaxons, and like try and answer the questions, and that is the most fun I've ever had. Like, it's amazing.
I would say that's definitely the reward.
That is utter joy.
And has the show changed much? Because Stephen Fry is no longer the host, and now it's Sandy Toksvig. And has it changed in any... I mean, there's probably a bigger chair.
Yeah, no, the chair is actually on a platform now. It's bumped, genuinely bumped up a few inches. Yes. There's a few things, like Sandy's changed around the way we do the warm-up. So Stephen would always do this thing where he'd record an interesting word beginning with that letter and he'd guess what it was. She did doing a quiz with the audience, so little things have changed. But on the whole, the thing about QI, the TV show, is that a lot of that team is the same it's been for since we started, so about 14 years ago. So I joined five, six seasons ago, and you rock up and it's like the first day of school and everyone seems to know each other, and then gradually you get to know everybody and then new people come in, and it's just this big sort of gang of people who just know what they're doing and love what they're doing, and it's great. And so it's basically very much the same crew, but a new captain on the ship.
Because occasionally one fact, you know, something will slip through that isn't true. That
yes.
Even though, you know, with all the fact checking and whatever, there's just, you know, there's things either that one can't know or something new comes to light or whatever. So what happens, and are Stephen Fry, you know, would he get very upset if he had been seen to
have got it wrong?
Yeah.
I think people trust us to do our best.
Yeah.
And we'll always check things. We'll always look into things. Things do slide through. So when we record a show, there are about 3 or 4 elves in the sort of this big booth. We have a laptop. And so if things, as people are talking, we're Googling it to see if that's true, see if that was a thing that happened. Just try and make sure we can talk to Stephen through his earpiece, or the producer can. So try and keep things on track as much as we can. If we get things wrong, there was a brilliant thing we did in Series K, which is called The Half-Life of Facts, which is about the fact that knowledge does deteriorate and does change over time. And there's one that I remember where we did a combo, which might have been an international in Series I, a thing about how it's never in real life, as someone said, does anyone know how to fly a plane and got a passenger to land a plane? That's never happened commercially. But occasionally somebody will do it on a private plane, and then we'll get loads of emails saying, well, I think you'll find actually it's changed. And the thing about because we've been going for so long is that's a very long time for those facts to change, so things will have changed. So if we get emails that say, you know, I was watching episode Beavers from Series B, and we're like, I'm really pleased you spotted it, our fans are amazing for checking things, but things from 10 years ago, I think people understand that stuff that's old. It's interesting to watch how things change, and how a fact that can be so adamantly sure, even things like calling Pluto a planet, you can't do that anymore. So that's so it's quite interesting watching the world change and seeing what's a fact.
Well, and also as time goes on, I imagine primary sources, like you were talking earlier about, you know, well, we have a primary source of a fact. Well, primary sources and primary witnesses die, so therefore that, you know, it's sort of like second generation, then you're on that, on that fact or information. So tell me... I'd love to turn to the book now, because you write a lot about literature, and that was the first script that you wrote.
Yes, it was, in Series L.
Yeah. And so I imagine that's one of your specialties. But I did kind of guess that maybe Scotland was also a specialist subject prior to meeting you, which I guess I'm right.
Yes.
Well, because a lot of the Scottish facts were also quite literarily oriented.
You see my fingerprints.
Exactly. Yes, I
think we all have facts that we steer towards. So this list will like them best. But in terms of finding them, often it's good to look for things you know nothing about. Because if, what was it? We had a fact a while ago about zero being an even number. And mathematicians were like, that is the most obvious thing. Like how? And the people who didn't do maths were like, whoa, how is that even a thing? And so if you're too close to things, you can miss what's interesting. Mm-hmm. So we all have like, yeah, I'm partial to book facts, Scotland facts, facts about animals, puffins. That's what I like. But in terms of researching, I'll look at everything.
Yeah. Well, you have to, because you don't, you won't have the same prejudices.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So yeah, cause so like James, Andy, Anna, and I could all read the same book and I'll pick out different five facts because it's just what your eye goes to. And
Okay. So one I picked out here on page 157, Websteed, or you would pronounce this, cold press, Storsucker, and Websteed or Websteed?
Website.
Are recent Scots words for website, fridge, and vacuum cleaner. So those were really fun. Thunderplump is an old Scottish word for a sudden heavy rain shower.
It's very onomatopoeic, isn't it?
Yes.
Thunderplump.
Thunderplump.
Plump.
Yeah.
Plump.
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the... Oh, first I'd like to go through how the book works.
Hmm.
Because facts like this, no one knows why bicycles stay upright.
Yeah. No one knows.
Exactly. But like, it's a fact, but it makes me want to know more.
Yeah.
Which is the point of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you have the book and then you go to qi.com...
Yeah, our rather excellent source finder.
Yes. You put the page number in the search,
mm-hmm.
and then it shows you the fact and all the information you got from it.
Yeah, so each page of the book, they're laid out like haikus, so there's three or four facts per page, and the source finder is an exact copy of the book, but instead of the fact, it is a URL or a reference to a book that you can go and find, and then you can find out all the information yourself.
Fantastic.
And then also what's great about that is if you click on, I don't know, say it was an article on New Scientist, there'll be about six things down the side that you'll be like, oh, but I came looking for bread, facts about bread, but now I see this, and then you end up in this, and then that's what we do every day. You start on the portal, and then you just get sucked into the internet.
That makes me think that this is a huge endeavor to do the books.
It's a big job.
Yeah.
It's great, but yes, there's a lot of elf hours, and many biscuits go into these.
I'd like to know the statistic of the biscuits.
Biscuits, oh gosh.
I don't want to admit to that.
I've got a lot.
But is it five biscuits per fact? We have four sources, five biscuits.
Yeah, four sources, five biscuits.
And like
two cups
hours.
Of tea. Yeah.
Two cups of tea. So no one knows how bikes stand up. Another one I was curious about is... a peacock's tail is 60% of its entire weight. I assume that's a male peacock, first of all.
I think so.
Second of all, why don't they fall over?
I see something about the balancing. Because although the weight... And when a peacock puts its tail up, though, it doesn't stick behind it. It kind of goes up in a fan. So it must have something...
Yeah.
I would guess that I do not know. I will check the portal when I get back to the office. But I would imagine something about the distribution of its weight must tip it.
Mm.
Because they're so graceful, peacocks, with their tails, and they sort of can flutter them, and it's they aren't dragging them behind them.
Yeah, no, and they're not pitched forward, saying, "Okay, I got it," like ballast.
Yeah,
so
I guess it's kind of like wedding dresses, and they do it so it can be look graceful rather than just like dragging.
Yeah, but I've seen my big fat gypsy wedding. Apparently, that also entails a lot of painful.
They're very heavy
wedding
dresses.
Anyway, okay, so that also brings, as you were sort of literally oriented, I have a passion for collective nouns.
Oh,
and I noticed there were some collective nouns.
Yes, I think tower for giraffes.
Tower of giraffes.
A tower of giraffes.
Blessing of unicorns.
Blessing of unicorns.
I've come. I don't know. It's always my. It's we have a game in our house.
Mm-mm.
It's like you see a group of something, and it's like, okay, so what's the collective noun? Some that we've come up with. I saw. You know, we saw a giant group of Santas.
Ooh.
So we came up with a cuddle of Santas.
Oh, it has to be a cuddle of Santas.
A cuddle of Santas.
Well, there shouldn't really be more than one Santa.
Yeah, but when you...
I mean...
You know, but if it appears...
yeah,
have to deal with what you've got.
Yeah.
But yes, a cuddle of Santas. Or maybe it's an infinity mirror of Santas.
Oh,
if there
I
really
like
is
that.
Only one.
It's an illusion, so you don't know which one's the real... Oh, that's... Yeah. Now I like that.
Yes, yes, exactly. What would you call that?
A mirage of Santas.
There you go. See?
I love it.
So, and then the other day we saw, well, it was a conflagration of street cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we naturally went for a sweep of street cleaners.
Oh, this is a good game.
Yeah. See? It's a good game. Yeah. Have I... Okay, so you seem like totally geeky cool.
Thanks.
And that have I now passed something on?
Yeah, I am totally going to play that game.
Excellent.
I name...
New book?
Yeah. It's collective nouns. They are good. No, I really like that. Now I'm thinking like taxis. What would you call that?
A hail of taxis?
Okay, I need to practice.
But yeah, you need to practice.
I'm going to play this. This is the rest of my week.
Yes, exactly.
Gone.
Okay. So, and obviously game show oriented, because you also work on the Museum of Curiosities.
Yes.
And I'm, as you can probably hear, a Radio 4 junkie. So, love it. Tell us a little bit about that. And tell us, because again, how things work behind the scenes is always interesting. And it doesn't seem like it's a game show, really.
Mm. No, museum is, sometimes people say it's more like a purer form of QI. Mm. Because museum is a Radio 4 show hosted by John Lloyd, who created QI. Mm. And then the setup is he has this Museum of Curiosity and he's looking for things to fill it. Mm-hmm. And each series he has a guest curator. So the last one we had was Noel Fielding, who was fantastic. The series before was Sarah Millican. And actually one of Sarah's episodes won the Rose Door for Best Talk Show last month, which is very exciting. And each episode we have three interesting guests, a mixture of academics, comedians, interesting people, and they all donate something to the museum. So we had things like Helen of Troy, a red button, a bubble, just things that can sort of spark curiosity, and then everyone talks about why they would bring it, what it reminds them of, things like that. And that is a very small research team. There are, I think, about half a dozen of us on the whole production side of that. And
what are you researching in that?
In that case, we are looking for interesting biographical information about the guests, interesting parallels between them. So say someone had studied in Italy for a year and somebody else was a specialist in Roman pottery, then you start putting them together and you try and look for things where you can find coincidences and matches and things that will draw them together and that they can spark off each other. So, and then they'll have a donation. So if someone donated a bubble, we will be like, okay, bubbles, let's find out the best things we can about that. Was there ever a bubble craze in Italy if someone had been in Italy? Mm-hmm. And so again, matching it with the people and just basically it's just diving into a subject and seeing what comes up. Mm-hmm. Looking for mm-hmm. the best stuff we can to cream off the top.
It makes me feel that, like you said about QI, that the point is curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And the Museum of Curiosities then is the point of highlighting something is to sort of elicit our similarities
mm-hmm.
and the small world aspect.
Yes.
Our connections.
Very much. Connections and curiosity.
Yes. That's lovely.
It's good. It's a great thing. It's brilliant. It's one of my favorite things to work on.
Turn your whisper into a shout with Radio Gorgeous. What's your background? What sort of drew you to these kinds of things?
I think it's sort of magpieing, really, and always been interested in lots of things at the same time. So I did a politics and sociology degree, which was very interesting, but I was always spent just as much time in lectures as I did running magazines, doing societies, going to places around the city and looking at them, doing other things, really. Or you'd go to the library to get a book on, I don't know, a financial markets book, and then you'd see the one next to it was called something amazing, and you'd be like, well, I'm reading this first. And so I think it's just always having that BDI. Something in the office, everybody, we all have quite different backgrounds, but everyone's got that spark, that wanting to find out more. I was wanting to ask why. And the thing is, I suppose, that information is everywhere. So there's a fact in one of the previous books that I got when I was in the line at the post office. It was a greetings card, and it said that stress is desserts backwards. And I was like, oh, that is good. So that went in the book.
I saw that there was a restaurant in New York on Worth Street that also said that. And I was like, ah. Keeping that.
Yeah, but this, you see them. No, there's one in this book about, I guess, right, is it, MasterCard, their HQ in New York is on Purchase Street. Which is just, once you know that, you just think, well, that's brilliant. But did MasterCard think like, oh, we should get a street that sounds cool? Or did they just happen to build an office there? It makes you just think all the things that you, there are all these things that are hidden in real life. And there's something in the book as well about a barber, I think he's in Spain, who uses swords and blow torches. Which I thought sounded amazing, but bonkers. And on the walk here, I passed this beautiful old-fashioned barber's, and it said they did sword cuts on the door. And now I want to know, do they mean actual swords, in which case I want to go and watch, or do they mean like it's so fun, it's like a sword? And I don't know, so I'm going to go look on Wobbeck and find out. Because I want to know now if he's a guy with swords and things for it.
So your curiosity, you know, literally in real life, it doesn't stay at work.
Yeah.
In real life, brings you to new places. Does it make it kind of difficult for people, like at dinner parties, you're like, actually,
oh, you have to stop yourself. Yeah. See, after exactly. Once you told your facts about cheese, you're like, we don't want to hear another fact about cheese. Stop talking.
But does it also make you quite critical of hearing things, or do you ask your?
Oh no, we always want to know more. Like, and yeah. Also, what's great is everybody's knowledge and experience is different. So everyone's mm-hmm. got a different set, and also people. Like, I can guarantee everyone has these facts that either you think everyone knows or you think that are great, but if you share them, everyone else thinks that everyone has their own, like, sort of sets of, like, five killer things or however many, but you've all got them. And it's, you know, like, people who are really into portraits or gardening or cookery, there'll be things that you come across. It's a weird thing I saw on the internet once about if you want to cut grapes in half, you should put a plate down, put your grapes in, and put a second plate on top and just run your knife through the plates.
Uh-huh.
Which is just, like... if that makes total sense.
Instead of wrangling around with
grapes. I mean, if you had a sword, it'd be even faster, but you don't know, but it's just, you just these little things. It's just brilliant.
Yeah. Excellent. Find your fun fact.
Find your fact. Everyone's got them. And they're all hidden around the world. It's like a mega Pokemon Go, but with facts.
This podcast was presented by Donna Freed and produced by Donna Freed. RadioGorgeous.com